Hey guys, welcome to Mailroom, our show that takes us girls inside the mind of the opposite sex by going straight to the source. I'm your messenger, Mindy. I'm definitely not a dating expert, but it would be a lot of fun figuring it out together. In today's very special Valentine's episode, Bennett Tells All, Under the Robe, our very special guest, Bennett Jordan from ABC's The Bachelorette is here. Bennett, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
So in true Mailroom fashion, we wanted to have you start off and introduce yourself with your full name, your age, what you do, and the type of guy that you think that you are in dating.
Hi, I'm Bennett Andrew Jordan II. I live here in New York City. I'm from Atlanta. Originally, I was born actually in Chattanooga, Tennessee, but grew up in Atlanta for about 14, 15 years. As professionally, I'm a wealth and alternative asset management consultant. I'm a regular, normal, everyday going, sort of guy. I think, it's in your best interest to put yourself out there and be genuine, authentic, real, and focus more on expressing yourself really than trying to impress the other person, certainly as you're getting out of the gates there. I know everyone's really focused on, impressing and going to the fanciest restaurant. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy that just as much as the next guy. But, I think it's all about really showing your true colors and, putting your best foot forward.
Great. Would you say that you're a Southern gentleman type?
Yeah. I spent 18 years down in the South. I've spent 18 years up here in the North at 36 years old. And, I'm a nice blend, I think, of both. That's my heart. And that's what I lead with. I'm a very heartfelt guy. I'm a Cancer.
What does that mean? What are Cancers like?
I kind of expected you to be the, horoscope expert. But, I'm a Cancer, moon, sun, rising. I'm Cancer through and through. I'm very, very emotional. I'm led by my emotions, and that's sort of me. Unfortunately, many of the women here in New York City, as you might imagine, are very Type A and logic driven. I'm very much a Type A person, but my heart is kind of what matters most, and I kind of lead with my instincts, and that's me. I think it can lead you into struggle sometimes. I certainly don't have it all figured out. But I'd rather show my true colors and be, who I am to the core than, try to throw on some facade and impress a lady and see where it takes me. That I don't think that's in anyone's best interest.
Yeah. Sensitive type. We like that.
Sensitive type, indeed. I'm not afraid to cry.
I was going to ask if you were a crier. Are you rom-com crier?
Oh, my God. The funniest on that is, obviously, Modern Family is unfortunately over now, right? And that's a sitcom, right? That is, just a heartfelt, wholesome family sitcom, but they do the message at the end of the episodes. Mm-hmm. And I would say 75% of the time, I end up tearing up during the message of Modern Family, which is totally ridiculous. I can go on and on about movies that make me cry, but I'm not afraid to cry and, show my true colors.
Amazing. What about Lifetime movies? Do you watch any of those or Hallmark movies?
That's more my mom. Okay.
That was a test and you passed. So
yeah, I've never actually seen one without my mom. and even then I'm usually trying to do something else, or I'm like, okay, this is your time.
Yeah, it's so much.
Yeah.
So it seems like a lot of your vibe is very old school, romantic, chivalrous, hopefully. So on that note, I wanted to ask, do you think that chivalry is a lost art, or do you think it's alive and well?
I really hope it's alive and well. I think in the modern day society that we live in, with everything kind of running through your phone and dating apps and everything else, it's oftentimes lost, right? What I think is fantastic about the pandemic, which you can't say too much, is that from a dating standpoint, it's kind of, reverted everyone back to the old school days where you're forced to spend time with people, getting to know them, perhaps virtually on the phone, FaceTiming, texting, et cetera, whatever it may be, before you actually, engage and get to know them. There's a lot of trust, there's risk involved, right? As there always is in dating, but it's just amplified that much more. given the current environment with COVID, of course. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think it's really, really nice. I think, romance and romance by definition, right, is kind of the mystery and the intrigue and the appeal and the warm and fuzzies that you're getting about someone. And that shouldn't be lost. I think it's so critical. It's so important in you know, relationships and love and, you know, modern society, which is, you know, definitely here in New York, it's, you know, very much a transactional sort of a place.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, from that sense, the pandemic's really been helpful. And, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, people are enjoying that and kind of getting back to, you know, some wholesome, heartfelt moments and getting to know people, you know, for who they are before they just, you know, go out and spend time with each other, you know, and risk getting COVID or whatever, maybe.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point. I think it almost switched where before it was like you test out the merchandise first and then you get to know someone versus now you're really taking the time and you are having a lot more conversations in depth and more time in the beginning that you're building something versus going straight to what can be pretty transactional, as we can see in New York often.
Okay.
So your friends, would you say your friends are also pretty chivalrous, or is it something that you need to teach them? Do you need to, on our behalf?
I mean, being perfectly honest, my friends, for the most part, at 36 years old, are all married and with kids. You know, I have just a handful of friends that do not have kids, and even less that are single, right? And that's kind of been, you know, a nice thing from the show. You know, going on the show, and now I have friends who are single again, which is,
yeah, really- some wingmen.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic to be able to go out and have some wingmen who are actually single, yeah, and not posing as if they're single.
Yeah.
I think that generally speaking, my friends are, you know, heartfelt people and, you know, enjoy romance. I think it's just, it's a tough one, you know, in this environment. And, you know, I think through and through, hopefully the pandemic has helped and people really are made a little bit more humane, right?
Yeah, definitely. So how would you define love in our Valentine's themed episode here? What is your love language?
Yeah, so this is an easy one. My love language is, number one, quality time. Number two, physical touch, sort of in that order.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah, I think you really, quality time is everything. And yeah, getting to know people and being there, whether it's silent quality time, which,
yeah,
I think is totally real, right? And,
yeah,
and being comfortable next to someone, yeah, totally silent and just, you know, there's such a difference in between watching a movie with someone and being on your phone the entire time and versus watching a movie and being in tune and being, you know, having a moment with someone, right? Then I think there's a total difference in that. Obviously having in-depth, you know, conversations about real life matters that, you know, not just your favorite restaurant, your favorite bar, what you're eating and drinking and kind of the,
yes,
first date run of the mill BS that everyone goes through. I think really, you know, talking about who you are, talking about your upbringing, talking about your values, talking about what you're looking for in life, both, you know, personally, professionally, emotionally, et cetera. Those are things that matter the most. And, you know, for me, in terms of finding a partner, I'm thankful for the show for that matter, actually, because,
yeah,
it allowed you, or not allowed you, but forced you to do that within seconds, within minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's been really, really, you know, fruitful, I think, from a development standpoint. You know, you can cut through the BS really, really quickly and just get to the heart.
Yeah. Okay. So quality time and touch. And so also being touched while you're getting the quality time, that's like your best case scenario.
That's ideal. That's absolutely ideal. Yeah. I'm an intimate guy, and I think that goes hand in hand with the, you know, cancer through and through.
Yes. Okay. So on that note, based on what you said before, I think we already know the answer, but do you typically think more with your head, your heart, or down there in the lower region?
Sure. No, definitely in the heart, you know. I think it's head, heart, then lower region. I think, initial attraction, right, to someone from a physical, you know, standpoint is sort of a checking the box, you know, getting that, you know, that gets your foot in the door, right?
Yeah.
New shiny objects, new introductions, right? It's like, that is what gets you to the date.
Yes.
And then from that point, you know, that's, doesn't really matter to me. I think looks fade, obviously, over time. And, you know, heart and mind stick with you forever.
Yeah. Amen. And what do you notice in a first impression, whether it was on the show or now in real life on the streets of New York?
So Myers-Briggs wise, I'm an ENTJ. Yeah. All right.
Oh, so am I.
Nice. Boss lady. I like it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm quick to judge. And, you know, I think that the funniest thing is that, you know, with first dates, right? I think within the first 30 seconds, you know, at most, both parties know whether they would sleep with the other person, you know, or at least whether they're physically attracted to them, you know, on a very objective level. You know, as you move on, you know, beyond that, right, it's sort of getting to see how they present themselves, how they talk, how they think, right? And it takes some peeling of the layers to get to the heart, you know, and you got to get those nerves out. But I think that's sort of the approach. I think you go immediate looks, that's hopefully already checked out, unless it's a blind date, of course. And then you get to figure out how someone thinks, how someone talks, how someone acts, how they present themselves. Know kind of just the high level. I mean, and I honestly think that box can be checked within 5 minutes of initial conversation. And then it's okay, let's see some substance. Let's see what you're actually all about, what matters to you most, you know, what your heart is like, hopefully, sooner than later.
Love that. So this is something that comes up a lot for women. So because we're asked this a lot, I want to ask you, which is, you mentioned you're 36 and you're obviously single. Nothing wrong with that. Why do you think that you're single?
Yeah, you know, I mean, multiple reasons. I'm a relationship guy. I've had a lot of long-term relationships. You know, I've had a 6.5-year relationship. I had a 3.5-year relationship. I had a, you know, call it 1.5-year relationship, and I had a 5-year relationship, you know.
Wow. How old are you? 85? I'm just doing the math.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
so
impressive.
You know, I mean, yeah, but for me, you know, I'm a guy who, I don't mind being single. It's not like I need someone. I've been single now for quite some time. But, you know, New York City, it's a scary place, you know, and I think that women are as aggressive or more aggressive sometimes than men, you know, and going out as a single guy, if you know, that's what your jam is and that's what you want to do, it's really, really easy to meet women.
Yeah.
And I you know, have done that, and I kind of grown up and, you know, moved beyond that. I think for me, I come from a family, right, that, you know, my parents are divorced. I grew up with them together or separated back and forth. They're trying to make it work, and we're never really, you know, all in. And I honestly can't even remember a time when they had like a solid marriage. Right. So for me, getting it right, doing it, you know, the right way, and finding that long-term partnership is the most important thing in my life. So I take it really, really seriously. And I think, you know, in New York or wherever you are, you date, and I've lived with, you know, a girlfriend. I've even been engaged at one point in my life, and it just wasn't right, you know? And I think those are learning experiences that you're really, really thankful for, you know? And so
do you mind if I ask about when you were engaged, was it like a gut feeling you had that it wasn't right and you decided to make some moves, or was it something
else?
Yeah,
I mean, we dated for about 5 years. And, you know, I think we lived together for 4 years, right? And so you're spending that, you know, everything except the legal document and you know, everything is checked, right? Like, and, you know, I feel like from most guys' perspectives, they're like, well, if I'm living with the girl, like,
might as well just do the last step.
Or what is the point, right? Like, you've already kind of got, you know, everything, you know, unless you want kids, you know, and.
Right.
And for me, you know, I cannot wait to have kids. And I've really, really, like, I've been looking forward to kids for easily the last 6 years of my life, you know. And So that's really, really important to me. And I think you have to think about that when you're thinking about, you know, the love of your life. It has to be the person that you want, you know, for the mother of your children. And that just takes things from, you know, girlfriend, you know, everything being compatible with you to a whole nother level. And, you know, the bottom line, I have love for my ex, you know, fiance and everything, and I want her to be incredibly happy. But, you know, we communicated, you know, very, very differently. We valued, you know, sort of different things. We approached life very, very differently. And, you know, as much as I'm a really, like, to my own fault, like, I'm a loyalist and, you know, want to make things work and wanted, you know, so hard. We both invested so much time, but it was just so clear and abundantly obvious that if we got married, this would have been a disaster. And and so, you know, had to make that very tough decision to, you know, call things off and, you know, go the opposite direction.
Very respectable. Do you see yourself making a lot of bad dad jokes down the road?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, no, seriously, I cannot wait to be a dad. You know, I have a younger brother who is 12 years younger than me, and I have an older brother who is 6 years older than me. And so
Are they single?
The younger is single, the older is not. The younger brother, you know, growing up with, you know, my dad sort of being out of the picture and me being a really, really mature 12-year-old, you know, kind of new man of the house, I was changing diapers from the time he was born and helping sort of, you know, take care of him and a bit more of an uncle, you know, figure. And so I have, you know, friends now for the last, you know, call it 5 years or so who have kids, and I'm asking questions like, you know, has this happened yet? You know, or you know, like, you know, you know, and so I can remember back in the day what it was like, you know, helping raise my younger brother. And I, you know, I'm at the point in my life where that is what matters most to me. And needless to say, you know, figuring out the relationship and the woman and that whole equation is most
important. So how are you feeling about Valentine's Day this year?
I have not thought twice about Valentine's this year. I know I've got nothing in the hopper, so it's not.
What do you mean? You have 2 weeks, or actually, you've 9 days.
Yeah, you know, and you know, when I'm with someone, I am such a cheese ball. I love, you know.
Tell us more.
I love love. I love, you know, being cheesy, and I think, you know.
Are you saying these things because they're so great? Like, how are you not taken? This is like.
Well, you know, dating is like this. It's a roller coaster. Yeah. You got your ups and downs. And I'm a guy who is I've had a lot of ups, and you know, you have, you know, that roller coaster. You ride it out, just like you said. You know, you thought of like an 80-year-old guy, and I've had those long term relationships. You know, and I'm just waiting on the next one. And I don't think it's something you can force. I definitely think the pandemic makes it that much more challenging. I mean, you were noting on it earlier, right? Like, do you get a COVID test? It's like things were always risky when you're getting to know someone, but now they're real, real risky, right?
Yeah, you need a COVID test and an STD test. You can just get them both at one time.
And hopefully there's some comfort with that, you know, for people going forward. It's like, what is the risk? Is it STDs or is it COVID, you know? Like, and it's like, well, I think both are pretty serious and we should listen to those, you know?
Right.
But like, you know, people being tested for COVID now, hopefully it makes it that much less of an abrasive question to say, you know, can I see an STD test, right? Like when you're at that point of a relationship.
Have you ever asked anyone?
Yeah, totally. That? Totally.
Really? Evidence or their word?
I've had evidence. You know, don't get me wrong. I've, you know, rolled the dice and I've, you know, knock on wood, gotten, you know, I've been like, whew, thank God that worked out, you know, but, I think, obviously it's better to be safe and, than sorry. And that's something I've been, very fortunate with my luck and, you know, with my decisions throughout my life. So, you know, not something that I'm trying to really compromise these days.
So we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to jump into a segment that we call text translations. So these are texts that some of our listeners have received, and I will read them to you. And if you can pass along your intel, if the girl should ditch this guy, what you think and how she should respond, and then we'll fill you in on how she responded.
Ditch and how she should respond. That's it.
Yeah. And any other deep thoughts you may have on this guy's texting style?
All right, love it.
Okay. So I'm going to get into character. So the background on this one is that they met on a dating app and then they took it into texting. So big step. So now it's a text. So the guy comes in hot with, so what are you looking for in a man? She comes back with white pants and a pink shirt for starters. I guess that's what he was wearing in his profile. What about you? Okay, so this guy clearly copies and pastes an entire paragraph. So he writes back, physically, I like brunettes, thank you, over blondes, and boobs over butt. Someone fit and health-oriented, a charming smile. Aside from physical beauty, I'm looking for a warm, giving girl. There's more. Someone who enjoys touch. It's my love language. Maybe you should date this guy. But anyway, want a girl who doesn't complain too much and game for whatever adventures. Last but not least, a lady in the street and a freak in the bed. Thoughts?
Okay. Okay. thoughts. I think that your voice over on that, text was totally appropriate.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is clearly a total bro. To his credit, he was trying to give a thoughtful, thorough answer. He should have left out at least, call it 50 to 30% of that. And it would have been a lot better, better received. But I think it was well intended, most likely.
Yes.
And he was trying to give her color, but it was just a little bit too much too soon.
Okay. I'm going to give you her response back and then want your input on his last text.
Totally.
So she writes back, what are your best qualities and what do you bring to a girl who has all of those things? So he writes, I'm exactly what I'm looking for, except for the boobs part. Warm, playful, giving, adventurous, and a slight freak in the bed. So first of all, isn't that like a ludicrous lyric? I feel like, yes, it's very important, but like twice, out of the gates.
Yeah. You're talking to the ATLian here. I think it's a drop. For me, if I was the female on the receiving end of that text, I would be like, ho, use a ho. I think that would be a cut immediately. I would be done with that. Just to go off your ludicrous, analogy. Again, I honestly think that this guy's probably well intended. He's a little bit of an idiot, and
well endowed.
Well intended, not well endowed. Please don't put those words in my mouth. Pardon the pun. I just think that depending on the lady, I think this could be a guy that would be a perfect lax bro or something to pick up at Fiddlesticks. But probably not the guy that you want to go and sit and have a full dinner with. I'll put it
that way. All right. Love that. So hard pass.
Yeah.
Text number two. This one is with a guy that a girl had just started texting with. And the background is that she seems to ask all the questions and he just writes back quick answers. We leave it at this. He basically says, just checked. My Uber rating is 4.84. Wow, you definitely asked some hard-hitting questions, by the way. And then a little wink after. And he writes, haha, here's one. When are we hanging out? So the question is, do you recommend, whether it's to your friends that are girls, do you recommend that if a guy is just answering questions only and not giving much, that she should give it back to him? Or do guys really need that? Should they need that? Because this clearly worked. So I'm just curious, should girls be a little more playful in that way and call a guy out?
Yeah, I was gonna say I like this guy's game. And I empathize with it because I think short answers to guys depending on the guy, of course, right? I'm speaking specifically for New York guys in particular, because I think short answers are like finance guys giving short emails, you know, one sentence, not even, you know, like a full complete sentence, you know, and that is frustrating. I'm overly, you know, I'm a little bit of a long-winded person myself, you know, and I think that it's a challenge for many to accept that, he's responding. If he wasn't interested, he wouldn't respond, period, end of story, you know, end of the day. And I think that, you know, you have to take that, at least he's engaged. He might be playing the mysterious card. He might work in finance. He might just be busy. Don't read into that too much. And, you know, it oftentimes requires, you know, for us guys who are somewhat like that to have a, you know, bubbly, flirty, you know, girl who's going, you know, to take the next, you know, step and initiative to kind of bring out that fun, playful, you know, flirtatious, you know, side of us. You know, I don't particularly have a hard time with that. I think I'm a person that probably sends ridiculous long-winded texts and they're like, Jesus, what is wrong with this guy? You know, but like, again, be yourself, you know, and I think it clearly works for, you know, this situation more often than not, because it is intriguing to the female. And obviously he's not playing his cards poorly. He's just playing his cards.
Well, it's
he's not
interesting.
Like killing it. He's not killing it, you know.
Definitely not.
Not killing it, but he's doing just enough to hopefully get that, you know, person. And if this is, we're talking about like online, if we're talking about an app or something like that, I think that's in your, you know, advantage more so than not, because all you're trying to do is ultimately get together and meet that person, right?
Yes. I think that's such an interesting perspective, because I think a lot of women would write that off as like lazy. Like, I'm putting in all the work. I'm asking all the questions. You're answering them without even a, like, what about you? But I think it's interesting, not, you know, these are still strangers and you don't know each other's communication style. So maybe it's worth that one last, like, try something new and see what happens. And I think that's
I think it comes down to what you want, you know, in a partner, right, as well. You know, sometimes you want someone to meet you halfway. And I think, you know, in the grand scheme of everything, that's what you obviously want, but not necessarily in a personality match, right? Sometimes someone likes to be the star of the show and, you know, be the really outgoing person. They really want someone who's quiet, who has a good ear, you know, and can listen to them and put up with their ridiculousness and their kind of antics and all those things. And I think it just kind of depends on the compatibility and what you're looking for. But, you know, I don't fault this guy for his text whatsoever.
Awesome. Okay, now, what about your dating rules? Do you have any dating rules to live by?
Rules to live by. You know, I would say first dates, you know, engage with the girl on the plan, but be decisive and make the plan.
I like that.
Don't say, where would you like to go? Okay, let's go there. It's thoughtless, shows nothing, and it doesn't show any balls whatsoever. You know,
we like balls, and tell your friends, a plan, whatever it is a lot of bonus points. It goes
make a plan, have something to say, have something to do, have multiple options in mind. My favorite thing to do is to present two or three options that I would
like a choose your own adventure.
Well, then the nice thing on that is if you are, it's tough to go to a new spot that you're excited about trying on a first date. You don't know what the infrastructure is like. You don't know what the seating's like. You don't know what the lighting's like. You don't know what the drink situation, you know, you should know what the drink situation is like, but you just, you know, I do my research, you know, of course, I'm not like going to the place before to check it out, but I'm at least Googling it, you know, and looking into it. Right.
And you don't have the same place that you bring dates?
Some go-tos throughout my career.
Do you ever get caught, though? Like, if someone works there and they're like, oh, nice to see you again, and you're on a date.
If you're a smart person and you are going to your favorite date spot, you have a relationship with that bartender. You probably have a relationship with the hostess, and, you know, they know what's going on. You know, and you know, if it's one of the things, if you sit down and cross your arms and drinks arrive, that's going to throw her a red flag immediately. You know, like that's not going to work out in your favor. But I think some comfort in where you are is critical. And so what I would say is another rule and a sidebar, if you're going somewhere new, don't be late, be early if you are the guy who called the shot, and you have always, regardless of where you're going, have a plan B and a plan C nearby in case you need to call an audible at the last minute. You have to. Could be a private event. There could be like a, you know, magician there that like also plays the cymbals. You never know what you're getting into, like, you know, and you're like, you know, so you got to be able to pull the ripcord at any given moment. And, you know, I think that's a little dating 101, especially here in New York. Never know, you know, how crowded it is. Like, so, some of my places that I've, you know, enjoyed the most over my dating career are places that will be incredibly crowded, you know, on like a Friday, Saturday night. But if you go on a Wednesday date, you can have a pretty nice intimate conversation where you can hold, you know, or intimate situation where you can hold a conversation, right?
Yeah.
And that I think is critical. Same thing goes with a new spot. You never know how loud, you know, it's going to be. You never know how crowded it's going to be, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Get there early, scout it out. If you need to call the audible, call the audible. And hopefully it's within a 1 or 2 block radius where she's not going to be offended and she's already, you know, cabbing or
subway. Wait, by the way, the 1 to 2 block radius, do you ever pick a place that is a 1 to 2 block radius from your place by design?
That's too close. It's too obvious. You know, I think if it's a third date situation and you are shooting that shot, she knows what's up and it's all right. I think for a first date, you know, try a little harder, you know, I just think, especially if she knows, I mean, obviously if she knows where you live, if she doesn't,
right.
It's going to come
rookie move.
Totally.
I mean, unless she's
not hard. Even if she doesn't know, it's going to come up on the date. And then you're going to be like, oh yeah, well, I just
you live upstairs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Downstairs, like, here I am. You know, I think again, you know, with the way the dating kind of is these days and everything, you know, largely running on apps and being very, very transactional, people are less surprised by moves like that. But if you're, you know, in it for real and trying to date someone, you know, at least go 7 to 10 blocks away, you know, right?
Good radius. Yes.
Yeah.
As far as using the L word, in the spirit of Valentine's Day, and it seems sometimes for a lot of guys, Valentine's Day and other holidays are a good time to escape. But for others, I know on the show, you had confessed your love, and just curious, what's your take on using the L word and how often you use it?
Yeah, great question. You know, the L word is that's kind of everything. I think it's really, you know, it is the biggest potential emotion that you can possibly, you know, express. And I think it's one that really ultimately, and going back to your question earlier, you know, love is kind of like the truest expression of oneself, right? It removes all of the BS, you know, like you're going to have the good, the bad, the hard, you know, hopefully the, you know, fairy tale, everything, but it really is, you see it all in that person and hopefully it should be seamless. So when you are expressing that you love someone, I think, you know, it means different things at different points in your life as your definition of that evolves. And I think in different scenarios, it can mean different things as well. And I know that's like a, you know, okay, you're like, well, let's break that down.
Are you in here?
Yeah. And so, you know, in different situations, you can feel like you're totally invested. You have every, you know, ounce of romance in your body. Everything is invested in this person. You are totally there. I'm in love with you, you know, and that means something.
Thank you. You know, oh, like, sorry.
Yeah. Of course. And in that moment, right, like with you know, Tayshia on the show, like I felt that I was 100% in, like, and I never thought going on a ridiculous, you know, television show and putting myself out there in that way would lead to those words coming out of my mouth. Like I was like, those guys are nuts. Like, give me a break. Like, right. And it is, unless you've done it, unless you've been there, there's just this environment, and there's a scenario, and there's this hyper focus. Like, just imagine having nothing to do every single day but to focus on one person. There is no scenario like that in life. So when people, you know, critics, public, whatever, think about these ridiculous reality TV people that go out there and say that I love you after such a short time, it's like, well, let's break that down and make you realize that when you're living life, you have friends, you have family, you have a job, you have distractions, you have the internet, you have television, you have your phone, you have everything. The actual investment that you're putting in that person is maybe 1% of your day, maybe 5, maybe 10 if you're really, really into the person, right?
Yeah.
Imagine 100%, right? Like, or at least 95%, sure. Like, you've talked to some other people throughout the day, but literally that much of your attention and that much of your heart and your energy is devoted to someone. So, you know, for me, I look back on that experience and I was like, yeah, wow. I said that, but like,
I mean, I respect that, but that, so that's what you felt in the moment. And do you think it was authentic to that? But do you think in the real world, it would have been the same?
Yeah. I mean,
kind of like, yeah.
I mean, that's like comparing night and day, right? How would I even know? You know, I would never have probably, you know, sat down with Tayshia, you know, and like had moments on our, you know, fourth date where I'm talking in such great depth about, you know, emotions and feelings and asking questions like who would say in like, you know, your fourth or however, you know, conversation, saying things like, what do you question about me in, you know, in terms of being a husband and, you know, potential, you know, father and, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say that, right? Like, I mean, and if you did, like, you're the man, good for you. Like, you guys are really off to a great start. But, you know, so I think that in and of itself is something to really, you know, kind of keep in mind. And if you are having those conversations, like, you know, obviously you are clearly starting to fall, like, no idiot would ask those questions unless they were starting to fall in love, right? Like,
right.
So, yeah, there's a lot that goes into that. I think, you know, for me, it's a word that I've used probably about 4 times, you know, in my life. And
especially for all those hundreds of dates. So that's like,
small. I mean, and that's coming from a guy, right, who has, you know, relationships of, you know, 6.5 years, 5 years, 3.5 years, right? And it's like those things are really, really, really important. And I think, you know, you're really a scumbag and you're really inauthentic if you're throwing around that word, just like it's like, you know, vanilla ice cream or what, you know, like I like you, right? It's like, it's totally different. That's like, that is the truest expression of yourself, the biggest and most heartfelt emotion that exists. You know, use it wisely.